Tonight we continue our series of study that we started recently, looking at the different parts of the love of God, the nature of God, and we have looked at one of those so far. We spent two lessons studying about long-suffering, and the text where we started from for that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter about God's love, and in this chapter we learned several of the parts of the love of God. God's love is not just one thing. God's love is composed of different parts, and we need all of those parts in us. And so back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to start tonight, in verse 4, he says charity, and again, that's the Greek word agape. That's the common word for love. He says charity suffers long and is kind. So we want to look at that next one there, having seen what the scriptures teach about long-suffering, that particular quality of God, that part of the nature of God, that part of His love. Now we see this part of the love of God, and that is kindness. As He says, love is kind. Well, can we have the love of God in us without having kindness? No, we can't. We have to have that. That's part of God's love. And so as we did last time, we want to start by looking at the definitions of some of the words that are used for kindness in the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, there's the Hebrew word chesed, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar by any means. And so if you want to grade or criticize my pronunciation of the Hebrew words, feel free. I will not fight against that, because I'm just doing the best I can with that. But anyway, that word chesed, which is in the Strong's Dictionary, number 2617, that's the general word. It means kindness in Hebrew. And it comes from 2616, chasad, which is to bow, as in to bow the neck like you would to in courtesy to someone. So it is. The root of it is showing that aspect of deferring to someone to show courtesy to them. And that really has a lot to do with the word kindness. Now, that's a bit easier to see with the Greek words in the New Testament. The root word for all the other ones, and there are a number of words that are translated, because we see kindness as a noun, we see it used as a verb, but all those different parts of speech, there's a common root word for it in Greek, Strong's 5530, which is kraomai, which that verb or word is a verb that means to furnish what is needed. Now, the other words that we see most often from that root word that's translated kindness or to be kind, it's interesting, the literal definition of the word for kindness is usefulness, or in the verb, it's to show oneself useful. Well, that gives us a perspective of from God of what being useful is. To be useful, as He's defining it, because it's expressed with that word kindness, is to furnish what is needed. So if we are showing to someone that has a need, if we are doing what is necessary to furnish what is needed, we're doing what is useful in that situation. As for furnishing that need, fulfilling that need, that's what kindness is. So it's the very definition is instructive about it. But we also see that in the passages that use that word, which we want to go through in our study starting tonight. But when we look at kindness, some of the words or some of the verses that use those basic words for it, we already saw in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, that is part of the love of God. God's love is kind. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, as we also saw long-suffering, was there in Galatians 5, verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then he says gentleness, goodness, and faith. Well, that word gentleness there, that's one of the words for kindness. So For some reason, it's translated a little bit differently there. We saw that also with some of the words for long-suffering, too, didn't we? Several cases where it was translated patient or patience, when in fact it was the word for long-suffering. And there are shades of differences in the meanings of those words. Now, again, it's going to be, we're not going to be able to build all of one part or a few of those parts of the love of God while completely leaving out and not having any of these other things. I mean, how are we going to be long-suffering without enduring, having patience? Those are going to need to be built together. Well, kindness is another one. So we need to be kind as part of the love of God, as part of that fruit of the Spirit, as we see there in Galatians chapter 5. In Colossians chapter 3, where we found long-suffering, it's interesting to see these different passages. They use these different words together so often. We see that with Colossians 3, 10 through 12. Up to verse 10, verses 5 through 9, he mentions these different parts of the old man that he says to put off with his deeds, to mortify, that is to kill these members, these things that are God's love is not. Just as 1 Corinthians 13 says what God's love is and also what it is not. And things that are not part of the nature of God, that are not part of His love, we need to get rid of those things, purge them out, put them to death from being in our own hearts. And so instead we need to have all the parts of God's love formed within our hearts. Well, that's what we're seeing here in Colossians 3. Verses 5 through 9 tells us what to put off as that old man. Then starting in verse 10, he tells us what to put on as that new man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the new man that we are to put on is in the image of Christ. That is the image of Christ. Well, his image is love. God is love. And that image, again, as it is God's love, has different parts to it as he goes on to teach. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And that's the exact same word there in verse 12 of Colossians 3 that we saw in Galatians 5, verse 22. For some reason, it's translated gentleness in Galatians 5, but it's the same word here. So kindness is part of the image of Christ to put on. So it's part of the love of God, part of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the image of Christ. So he describes it in those different ways in those passages, but all of those are teaching us that that is one of the very integral parts of God's nature that we are to partake of and to put on. Now, kindness is a rare quality to be found among men. It certainly is found within God, but it is rare to find within people. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, he says, of man, they are all gone out of the way, they are together, become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, that word good right there is the word for kindness. And it's interesting that that would be one that he would use as he's describing how people have gone out of the way. They've become unprofitable. Doesn't sound like they're very useful there, does it? Well, that lack of usefulness is shown there when he says they are there is none that is kind. No, not one. Well, how much kindness do we find in the world today? I mean, how many people are going around really trying to be useful and furnish what is needed as defined by God? And that's not up to us to define what's needed, and that's very important to recognize that. But to understand what God describes as truly the needs of man, and if we are someone that desires to put on the image of Christ, we're going to be looking to fulfill those needs in others. And so that's a quality we must have to be like Christ, but it's certainly in short supply in this world that we live in. Now, that's not to say that people are going to admit that. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, he says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. That word goodness there is that Hebrew word for kindness. So if you took a poll out there and asked people, are you kind? I mean, how many people are going to say, no, not me. That's not me at all. I'm not kind. How many people are going to say, yeah, I'm a kind person? Most people are going to say that about themselves. As he says right there in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, his own kindness. He says, but a faithful man who can find? Now, how many people really are kind? Well, we just saw that, didn't we, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. There are very few that do that. There are very few that truly are. So the number of people who think they are or claim to be is not nearly or even close to being the same as those who truly are kind, as God defines that. Well, the world is contrary to what is of God, which includes kindness and growing in kindness. What is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What's esteemed of God, what does the world think of it? It's foolishness with the world. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And that word good is again, a form of the word for being kind. Well, our manner needs to be kind. Well, are we going to be able to do that if we're listening to the world? We're not going to be able to do that. We'll be deceived. We're going to be if we follow the world, we're not going to be following these things that are of God. We're not going to have kindness or any of these other parts of the love of God. The world does not esteem those things. Kindness is one of the major characteristics of those whom God approves of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 6, we saw this also with long-suffering that was mentioned in verse 6. We'll go back to that passage and see this also applies to kindness. He says in verse 1, we then as workers together, this is 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 6, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. So how do we approve ourselves as servants of the Lord? And that's what that word means. This is not something that applies only to those that are full-time gospel preachers or missionaries or something like that. This is talking about those who are servants of the Lord, which is all of us, all Christians. We all need to show ourselves approved unto God and not be one that receives the grace of God in vain. So what do we need to have in us so that we are approved of God and that we don't receive His grace in vain? Well, he mentioned several things there in verse 4, starting in verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. I mean, those are all things that we have to be approved of God. Are we going to be able to have God's approval if we don't have kindness? Not at all. So that's something that is required by Him. And that is to be formed in our inner man, just like all these other parts. This is what needs to be formed in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And that word translated mercy there is the Hebrew word for kindness. So we should not let that forsake us. It needs to be bound around our neck. It needs to be written in the table of our heart. So do we just act kind? Well, what do we have to do to act kind? That is to behave in a kind way. Well, what do we have to do to be able to speak kind words? From where does the heart speak? Of what abundance? For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know that. We also know that he tells us that the heart is the source of the things, not just that we say, but our thoughts and deeds. All that comes from our heart. So if we want to speak kind words, if we want to display kindness in our actions, where does that come from? It's not something that we just act out. It's not something that is an outward thing. It needs to be formed in our spiritual hearts, in our inner man, in order for us to then be able to speak and do according to that. Well, as we pursue further in our study, learning about what this kindness is, we again have to go to God to look at Him as the example of that, as the source of that, just as we did with long-suffering. This is really the pattern in our study as we see what these words are, what they mean, and how valuable they are to the sight of God. As we note that they are part of the nature of God, well, then we need to look at these scriptures that show how God is all of these things. As He is long-suffering, and we saw several applications of that, and then we can turn to see His teachings and how that's to apply to us as we follow God in having these things. Well, we want to do the same thing here as we study kindness. God's glory includes His kind nature. Now, as we looked at the same passage in the book of Exodus, when we were looking at long-suffering, He also uses the word kindness as He was revealing His glorious nature to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. It was back in chapter 33 that Moses pled with God to show him His glory. That was in chapter 33, verse 18. And God did not tell him no to that request. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to show you my glory. He was going to show him His glory and told him to prepare for that. And so Moses did so, and then it tells us in verse 5 of chapter 34, Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8, it says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" That word goodness there being the Hebrew word for kindness. Keeping mercy, and there's that's the exact same word that's translated goodness in verse 6, is translated mercy in verse 7, same Hebrew word for kindness. He says, "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and to the third and the fourth generation." And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So when God shows Moses His glory, what does He show him? His nature. He shows him that glorious nature that includes His long-suffering, that includes His kindness that He shows to man. And we can see many more passages that speak about this kindness that God has. The book of Numbers in chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And when God was ready to destroy the Israelites for their rebellion against God. And we also looked at this last time with long-suffering, because a lot of these same words come up together in these different passages. But Moses reminded the Lord of those very things that he said about himself that we just read about in Exodus when God was ready to destroy the people of Israel for their wickedness. And in verse 17 in Numbers chapter 14, Moses said, "And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy.'" There's that word for kindness again. "Forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation." And then in verse 19, Moses said, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word." So Moses was using as a basis of his plea, asking God to display and to show that kindness that is a part of his nature that God had declared to Moses back at that time in Exodus 34. So was Moses using the right approach with God to make this request? Yes, it was based on an acknowledgement of who God is, His glorious nature, asking Him to show that glory of His nature in this situation with the children of Israel, and God heard that prayer. But it's again based on who God is and the fact that God is kind. The same thing is stated about the Lord in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. That He is God, the faithful God that keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. And that's that Strong's number 2617, the word for kindness again that's used there. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 12 makes the same statement again that he did in verse 9. about God keeping covenant and mercy, that kindness that he swore to their fathers. So we see this brought up over and over again in these scriptures, those words in the Old Testament about God and his nature. A few more of those. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23. This is at the dedication of the temple. So this is also quoted in 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 14. So we can see the same exact words in both passages. But 1 Kings 8:23, here's Solomon at the dedication of the temple saying, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." That kindness of God. There's that same word again. We see it also in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5 and Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 32. It's in several of the Psalms. Psalm 86 verse 15 for one example. "But thou, O God, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." And there's that same word for kindness, which is translated loving kindness in Psalm 36, verse 7. Exact same word. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And don't we depend upon God being kind to us? And in how many ways does he show that? Well, He's the ultimate in being useful in furnishing what is needed, all the needs that we have, the physical needs we have, the spiritual needs that we have, and we want to look at some applications of that. Well, what about our spiritual needs? Does God show kindness to sinners? Those that are in sin that do not know the Lord, do they need to know God? They do. And they had that need. Is God there ready to furnish that need? If God didn't have kindness, I mean, the first time that a person transgressed one of his commandments and committed sin, which is the definition of it in 1 John 3, verse 4, sin is transgression of the law. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. The first time that we did that, if God didn't have kindness, well, there we were, rebelling against him. We're separated from him by our iniquities. Would God have been unrighteous to have destroyed us the moment that we rebelled against him? Now, it wouldn't have been unrighteous for him to have exercised that judgment against us, but he didn't do that, did he? How many ways did God show kindness to us by providing what we needed spiritually in that situation in our lives, at that point in our lives? And then we could look at many times since then when we have had struggles and difficulties, and how often God is there over and over again to show us kindness and mercy and all those things that we need to bring us to him. In Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 7 and verse 18, he says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." And there's that word again for kindness. But because God delights in that, does God have anger against sin and wickedness? He does. But does he retain that so that he will not show us kindness? No, he does not retain that forever. And then is he willing to pass by our transgressions? Yes, he's going to call us to repent, and if we do, he's willing to show us that kindness and forgive us of those things. And when he's talking about the rebellious children of Israel in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17, Nehemiah 9:17, those Israelites, he says, "They refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." Now, that is often used as the standard in the Old Testament when talking about the rebellious people of Israel, reminding them of what God had done for them back at the time when he delivered the nation of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt and showed all those wonders as he did so, and gave birth to them as a nation, delivering them from that bondage in Egypt to take them out, and of course then fulfilled all of his promises that he had made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for his people Israel. The Israelites, how did they respond to all that God had done for them in those ways? Well, they rebelled against him. But in spite of that, God still showed them great kindness and forsook them not. When we look at the New Testament and we consider what God has done for us, well, the things he did for the physical nation of Israel, that was a shadow of what he's done for us. The Passover that occurred when in Egypt, that tenth plague when he destroyed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, but the angel of the Lord passed over the houses of the Israelites when they had the blood of the Lamb there, and their firstborn were spared. And it was that after that tenth plague when the Egyptians said go, and Pharaoh finally let them go. Well, there was a shadow there of what was what Christ did in the New Testament, as he's our Passover lamb. His blood was shed for us, but were we redeemed from physical bondage or the spiritual bondage of sin, being in the devil's snare by sin? Well, what has God done for us through his Son to make it possible for us to be his child? And what God has done for us, as we consider in the New Testament, how does that compare with what he did for Israel in the Old? But when he says those Israelites, in spite of what God did for them, look at how they rebelled. Well, what could be said about people today? We need to think about that. But as God showed them kindness in spite of that, what about what he shows to people today? And the fact that he's willing to and even gave his own son. I mean, talk about an act of kindness, his loving kindness. What greater act of kindness was there to furnish a need than to send his own son for the sins of the world? So that is the greatest example of kindness that we could see in any situation. And he speaks about that in Romans chapter 2. Just like he brings up long-suffering, and we saw that passage there as it mentioned that, but he also mentions the kindness of God in Romans chapter 2 that has led us to repentance, that has made it possible for us to be able to repent, for us to be able to be saved in spite of our sins. Romans 2, 1-4, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for that thou judgest. Thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? And there's that word in Greek, the Greek word for kindness. And forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That word goodness, there's the word kindness. So he uses it twice there in verse 4. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. I mean, how could we ever get there if God weren't kind to us? And so do we despise that kindness of God? We better not. That's what has made it possible for us to repent and to be a child of God in the first place. Well, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, 1-7. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, that we can be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, that we can be saved by him. That's after the kindness and love of God that our Savior, God our Savior, that appeared to us to make that possible. So he mentions his kindness again in that passage, just like he did in Romans 2, that was so necessary for us to receive in order to be saved. Without God's kindness, none of us would have any hope of being saved. And so we can see that displayed, God's kindness towards sinners. And that will enable us to be able to continue to receive his kindness forever. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 6 that he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So he didn't just show us kindness once so that we could become his child, that we could become a follower of his son, but he did so that we could continue to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So that will enable us, that first kindness that he showed us will enable us to be able to continue to receive his kindness in the ages to come, forever and ever. I mean, how many needs does he continue to furnish of ours and will continue to do so? And how much kindness will he show us to bring us into his dwelling place in heaven for eternity and to give us the opportunities to serve him there forever and ever? So God's kindness that he's shown to us, he'll continue to show to us, but we need to be mindful that is the nature of God and remember what he has done for us so that we can be his child. And as we see, he continues to show that kindness to us as his children. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That word easy is actually the word for kindness. His yoke is a kind one. So what he puts upon us is not something that is going to lade us with a heavy burden. But the yoke that he puts upon us is a kind one. It's going to provide and fulfill our needs. So God is not doing something with his commandments that's going to be in any way a hardship for us or against us. He's kind to us in our afflictions. It's necessary that we suffer affliction for righteousness' sake so that we can grow in his love. But he continues to show us kindness in all of those things that we have to go through as his children. In the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalms 25, 6 and 7. "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, rememberest thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And then verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." Well, that word loving kindness is the same word translated mercy there in verses 7 and 10. But that's something that God displays towards us to continue to preserve us in our afflictions. Psalm 5 and verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." The word for kindness there. "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake." That's Psalm 6 and verse 4. Lots of these in the psalm. Psalm 17, verse 7, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them." Well, we have those that persecute us and afflict us for righteousness' sake. Is God showing us kindness when we are under temptation in all those situations? He continues to furnish our needs to get us through all of those situations so that we can be preserved, so that we can then grow spiritually and fulfill his will. He is kind in everything that he gives to us in every situation in our lives. The whole world is full of God's kindness. Psalm 33, verse 5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." That word goodness being his kindness, his loving kindness. The earth is full of that. I mean, how many examples are there? We remember the one he uses in Matthew chapter 5 in verses 43 through 48 when he teaches us to love our enemies, and he gives God as the example of doing that. Who does he give his son and the rain to? Only to those who are good and righteous? I mean, is he only feeding his children, or does he feed the world? Does he provide all the needs that people have in this world to sustain their lives, even when they're rebelling against God? They're his enemies by their wicked works, and he continues to show his kindness towards them, to give them their lives, to give them the things they need to live, and to give them those opportunities over and over again to come back to him, to come to him by giving his son, as he's done for everybody, for the sins of the whole world. And his kindness is especially great to those who do fear him. So what we receive of his kindness that bring us to him, once again, when we are his child and we do turn to him, he's going to continue to show us abundant kindness That's going to be something we get to partake of forever when we follow Him. Psalm 103, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." That's the word for kindness. So that is showing the depth of it, the greatness of it that we partake of when we follow Him. So we can see again in a number of the Psalms. I wish we had time to read all the different Psalms that had this. Just want to make note of Psalm 136. That's a lengthy one. Every verse ends with that phrase, "For His mercy endureth forever." And he's using over and over again that word mercy is that word for His kindness or His loving kindness as it's translated so often. Yes, it's very akin to the word mercy also. That Psalm 136 uses that word every single verse. And we see that same statement made about God a number of times in the Psalms and in other passages in the New Testament. We can see that also, in the Old Testament. We see that also in the New Testament. Just a couple of verses before we close tonight. He is kind to us in so many ways in the things that He provides us, especially for us as His children. In the book of Genesis, when He was dealing with Abraham, He was one that showed kindness to Abraham in Genesis 24 and verse 12. And this was by providing a godly spouse for Abraham's son Isaac when he gave him Rebekah. And so the word that is used for what God did to Abraham, of course also to Isaac, by providing a godly mate for him, Rebekah, was showing His kindness to him. That's something to think about. The Lord tells us that in Proverbs 19 and verse 14 that houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers and a prudent wife is from the Lord. We should be very grateful and thankful to God for the spouses that we have, because that is a kindness that God has shown us to give us someone to be an heir together of the grace of life with, that phrase that He uses in 1 Peter 3:7. That's showing a kindness, furnishing a need that we have for our lives. And we need to be grateful to God for that kindness that He's shown us. And, of course, we need to show that to our spouses in the way that we treat them, being appreciative of who they are for us as a manifestation of the kindness of God. And there's so many other applications of that we see in our lives from God. He's kind to us every day in so many ways. And then next we want to see, how we need to be kind and have that kindness in us and the applications of that that He teaches us in His Word, how we can be kind to others. So we want to continue with that, Lord willing, our next time. But for now, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that is here. The Lord is showing kindness to you right now to give you another opportunity to come to Him. And He has furnished through His Son, Jesus Christ, all of your needs. He's making that available to Him by His kindness. And so will you come forward tonight and repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him before men tonight so you can be immersed in water, baptized into Him for the remission of your sins like He commands us in Mark 16:16, Galatians 3:27, Acts 2, verse 38, 1 Peter 3:21, and we could look at many others where He tells us that's what we have to do. That's the commandment He gives to us so that we can then partake of that kindness that He's displayed towards us and become His child. Won't you do that now if that is your need? Or if you are a Christian, if you've gone astray from the Lord, He's showing you His kindness to give you this opportunity to come back to Him. Won't you do that also? If you are subject to the Lord's invitation this evening, please come now while we stand together and sing.